Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to Maloney, Poirier, and Mego. We've been talking a lot of Patriots, but we haven't talked about the rest of the NFL. So let's review it says week five here. We're in week five now. So we're going to look back on week four. Tyler, can you take us around the league, starting with Bill? No. Turn that off.
Oh, this is wrong.
I love it.
I'm sorry.
You turn that
totally
music off.
I totally switched.
Let's go to Baltimore, where the Ravens hosted the Buffalo Bills.
There we go.
This is better.
The final score was the Bills 23-20. The story of the game here was the Ravens, who had once held a big lead, 17 points, 20-3 in the second quarter. But late in the fourth quarter, game tied 20-20. Baltimore facing a fourth and goal from inside the 2-yard line. Fourth and goal, tie game inside the 2. You think that's easy decision for any coach. Take the field goal, take the points.
Not so much.
Coach John Harbaugh decided to go for it instead of taking the easy field goal. No points for the Ravens as Lamar Jackson threw an interception on the play. And here's the explanation on that decision by the guy who made it, John Harbaugh.
I felt like it gave us the best chance to win the game because 7, the worst that happens is if they go down the field and score, and I think we'll get them stopped, but if they go down the field and score a touchdown, the worst thing that can happen is that you're in overtime. But you kick a field goal there, now it's not a 3-down game anymore. It's a 4-down game. You're putting them out there. You're putting your defense at a disadvantage because they've got 4 downs to convert all the way down the field and a chance to, again, score 7. And then you lose the game on a touchdown. So and then the other thing, you think you're going to get the ball at the 2-yard line. So I'm very confident in our defense. Defense's ability to stop them down there with the ball on the 2-yard line. So we got them backed up. If we don't get it, didn't turn out that way, unfortunately, and we lost the game. So hindsight, you could take the points. But if you look at it analytically, I understand why we did it.
Okay, before we get to the analytics side of it, when he at the very end tosses in about the confidence that he has in his defense, by making that move, aren't you saying that you don't have that much confidence in your defense because you're trying to take the 7 points
instead
of 3?
To me, it was some like analytical Jedi mind trick thing that he's trying to pull off. Like, I think even today he addressed it and he's like, you know, it would have been an easy way out, kick 3, but we don't do that around here. We don't take the easy way out. It's literally like some Jedi mind trick. Like, you had the ball on your own 6. It was like a 9-minute drive. You bring it all the way down. There's like 4 minutes to go in the game. It's a tie game with 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And somehow, somebody has convinced you that it's obvious that you have to go for it rather than take the 3-point lead with 4 minutes to go.
Yeah, I think it was a terrible decision, and you don't need analytics, but I love how he throws it out there. You know, the analytics will tell you this. They're like, yeah, you know, if I listen to the analytics, if I listen to my grandmother, if I listen to my cousin, my neighbor, like, they would have done this. Like, having them backed up on the 2 does nothing for you. Does nothing. You have the lead. Run the clock out. That's it. You're done. The game's over. Like, you're gonna like give up on points? I thought it was totally
stupid.
But
it's also like when he says, like, you know, we kicked the field goal, put our team in a tough spot because it's 4 downs. No, well, actually, no. If you score the touchdown, then it's 4 downs, right? Then they have to score a touchdown. If you kick a field goal, there is a chance that a 4th and 5, 4th and 6 on the 30, that they'll kick a field goal and tie it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
Are those the best odds?
But it's like a Jedi mind trick. Hey, we're a tie game with 4 minutes to go. We shouldn't kick the field goal. It's the wrong play analytically. And it's like, what are we doing?
Yeah,
it's just
overthinking it.
Let's move on, Tyler.
Let's go to Tampa on Sunday Night Football, Mahomes v. Brady, a Super Bowl rematch. And Todd Bowles, a notable play in the game was another episode of the Tua Tagovailoa concussion issue, where Cameron Braid got dinged up on a play. He took a few seconds to get off the ground and was actually put back into the game. Not replaced. He went back into the game. Was it labeled a shoulder injury? A shoulder injury, Ryan? Shoulder injury for Cameron Braid, not a head injury or concussion issue. Here's Todd Bowles on why Cameron Braid stayed in the game.
Like I said, he complained of shoulder discomfort. He said nothing about his head on the sideline. Nobody called down. He was checked out 3 times, but he went back in till the end of the half. The concussion thing didn't come up till halftime. He had delayed symptoms.
Okay. What's anything wrong with that? Because I don't have any problem with it whatsoever.
No, because I remember the play. Like, I don't have a problem. He just collided with Godwin. Like, they were both kind of going for the ball, and there was like a collision. He sat in the ground for a little bit. He did not get up. He did not stumble. He did not shake his head twice. This was not, in my opinion, this was not Tua. He looked like a guy that just ran into somebody playing football. Now, later on, obviously the concussion symptoms came about, and it's unfortunate, but I don't know. I don't have a problem with that one. This isn't Tua.
Falls into the gray area. Anything else from that, Tyler?
Yes, Tom Brady, a quote-unquote shoulder injury. Don't expect to have him miss any time, but he did speak on the shoulder injury last night on the Let's Go podcast.
My shoulder's doing okay, you know, just some bumps and bruises, and I kind of took a hit there on it. Got some treatment today, got it a little bit last night, so I'm sure I'll be fine in the end. Thank God for Alex, who's always taking good care of me, and he's put together and helped me through a lot of bumps and bruises over the years, so this week will be very similar to a lot of the other ones, just getting on the man, getting back to practice, and trying to improve and be ready to go for next week.
Tom Brady, day by day.
He is day by day. The crazy thing is, like, I know he's got a shoulder, maybe because he threw it like 50-some-odd times, only ran it 6 times? That's a remarkable number for a guy that has like a shoulder issue, like some sort of rotator cuff issue?
Yeah, it's being called a minor rotator cuff injury, which, Christian, does that ever go away until you get it fixed?
No, it does not. You can't pliability your way out of that. Now, you can maintain it, but you're losing some speed on your fastball. That is for sure, 100%. The craziest thing in this game is that you look at the Chiefs, just real quick, stay in this game 1 second, is like nobody's missing Tyreek Hill. Like, this Chiefs offense, like, nobody's missing them. Like, all different guys score touchdowns, multiple guys run the ball, multiple guys catch the ball. Like, that's the real divide-and-conquer offense right there. Like, the Kansas City Chiefs.
He's kind of doing what Aaron Rodgers is struggling and doing with his new wide receivers, right? So, but again, I go back to the minor rotator cuff injury for Tom Brady. Now, obviously, he hurt, he came back, and he just chucked it. That's all he did, but I don't know. The guy's like 45 years old. Like, you're a quarterback. It's like a pitcher having a minor rotator cuff injury. It's like, is there such a thing? You know, but as long as he's healthy, I'm not. I think people trying to put the Tampa Bay Bucs like to bed, I think, are making a huge mistake. You know, you see, are you concerned about the Bucs? Listen, they played the Green Bay Packers. The only reason why they lost is because all their wide receivers are out. Like, every single one of them. They brought in Cole Beasley off the street. Then they played a very good Kansas City team that was locked in.
That just jumped on him ugly.
They're
right
going to be fine.
Yeah.
As long as he's healthy.
The Jets are now 2-2, a 24-20 win on the road against the Pittsburgh Steelers, where Mike Tomlin not too happy with his former all-pro punt returner, guy we know here very well, and Gunnar Olszewski. Another fumble. Didn't lose this one, but still some shaky ball control issues for Gunnar Olszewski. Here's Mike Tomlin on his punt returner.
Where's your comfort level with Gunner and punt return now that he's put two balls?
Not very high, to be quite honest with you, man. You can't put two balls on the ground in 4 games and feel good about it. Two is a pattern in the National Football League. You know, we say that often. We say that about runners and ball security. Whether it's 4 games or 8 games or 12 games, two in our business is a pattern. And so we got some work there this week and some decisions to make, and he's got to get us to a level of comfort, and we look at some other options as well.
I love that. I hadn't heard that sound yet.
Not very high.
Not very high, to be honest.
Not very high.
I love how I love Tomlin talking, by the way. His cadence is fantastic. Not very high. Got to protect the ball. Can't do it twice.
That's a pattern.
And
think about it. Like, if you're Olszewski, it's like, all right, so this guy, my head coach is already saying it's not good. He's also going to say, I need to get better. And at the same time, he's going to bring in some replacements. So if I don't figure this crap out in a hurry, they're going to cut my ass. Like, he's not, there's no sugarcoating anything. There's no, like, gray area at all with this. Listen, dude, I just put you on blast. You've been sucking. You can't do it anymore. I'm looking for somebody to do your job.
Quick aside, since this is who the Patriots moved on from, and now they have Marcus Jones. Marcus Jones looked great in his debut. How bad was Marcus Jones looking in practice that it took him that long to get on the field for the whole game? Like, was he just dropping everything in practice?
Well, it started with Miles Bryant, right?
Yeah,
Miles
Bryant, who was muffing all over the place.
I'm actually surprised he's going to him that soon. Like, Bill going with a rookie punt returner?
Well, he'll go to him until, like, he coughs it up. Like, I was surprised Miles Bryant kept getting extra opportunities.
Exactly.
Because every time they keep the ball there, it was like he's muffing it and he's barely, you know, surviving like a disaster. But, you know, listen, after that, we'll see. Well, we'll see.
Bill looks smart.
Not very high.
Not very high.
I love that.
The Arizona Cardinals flying high after a win over the Baker Mayfield's Carolina Panthers. 26-16, the final score. Carolina now 2-2. Carolina's 1-3. Arizona now 2-2. But don't boo Baker Mayfield. He actually doesn't care if you boo him or not. He spoke post-game about the boos he saw from his own home field fans in Carolina.
Obviously, I'm frustrated with the fact that we're 1-3. I mean, that's it, though. We're 4 weeks into the year. You know, we can sit here and let you guys pile on us, or we're going to come together as a locker room. That's exactly how we're going to handle it. I don't really care about the fact that our fans are booing or what's going on. We're going to figure it out. And when we win, it'll still be just us in the locker room. And that's really all I care about. So we're going to be just fine.
So don't boo Baker, who, by the way, has the lowest QBR in ESPN since the 2007 season, behind guys like Jamarcus Russell, Tyler Thigpen, Jimmy Clausen, and Blaine Gabbert. Those are the only four quarterbacks with a lower QBR to start a season than Baker Mayfield.
He has been awful. And I would say at some point, like, with the amount of talking he does, what did he say? He's going to go and kick the hell out of whatever Cleveland opening weekend. Like, the amount of talking this guy does, like at some point, we're talking about like Jack Jones. At some point, you got to go back it up. Like, he is awful right now. And the only reason why he's still playing is because Sam Darnold is still dealing with a high ankle sprain. Like, it's just, it's fun. It's entertaining. Like, his talk for a while it was. But it's like, dude, you can't suck. And it's up to him now, right?
Yeah.
He's going out there and sucking.
Yeah, the whole, like, I woke up feeling dangerous.
Yeah, all
it's
that
great
stuff.
If, like, when you wake up, you beat the team and, you know, throw for, you know, 350 yards and, you know, three touchdowns.
It's like Johnny Manziel. I wanted him good, but he sucked.
Yes.
This guy's almost getting to that point.
This is, it. I mean, listen, he basically is Johnny Manziel, but just a little bit better career, a little bit more success. But technically, he's the same dude. That's what it feels like to me.
I don't think he has some of the off-field issues.
Let's do one more game.
Yes.
Last night's game, Monday Night Football from Santa Clara, Levi's Stadium. Final score, 24-9. The Rams just cannot beat Kyle Shanahan's Niners. I have no idea why Jimmy Garoppolo owns the Rams. Matthew Stafford, another interception. He has retaken the NFL interception lead from Matt Ryan, Jameis Winston, Carson Wentz, and Mac Jones, surprisingly. Matthew Stafford and the Rams seem completely broken from last year's Super Bowl team.
So not only can he not stop throwing interceptions, he can't stop being sacked. He was sacked 7 times.
They were on their third string center last night.
Yeah, they've had their fourth game, 4 different offensive line combinations since the season started. They cannot figure it out. And so, which is obvious. Well, he's throwing picks. You know, he's getting sacked all the time. He looks like Stafford, you know, from Detroit without the numbers. You know, and he really only keys in on one guy and one guy
only. That's all they got.
Koopa.
That's all they do. I mean, he's been sacked 16 times this year. They can't run the ball. They can't protect the quarterback. They can't throw to anyone but Cooper Kupp. Defense is probably overrated. Like, I mean, listen, Donald is fantastic, but it's like, it's amazing. You look at this team with all the money they spent, and you're like, what is there? You watch them offensively, there's nothing to do. Other than, like, throw it in a tight window to Cooper Kupp.
Where's the genius, though, that exists with Sean McVay?
Right. The genius looked more on the other side. Like, Shanahan, that offense, guys move around left and right. I mean, that was an impressive win for San Fran last night.
One more story here quickly before a break. Colts All-Pro linebacker Shaquille Leonard suffered a broken nose. In addition to a concussion, he was diagnosed in the win against the Titans.
To tackle Derrick Henry?
That's 5 weeks away for the Patriots. If he goes on IR, that's 4 weeks. Patriots host the Colts November 6th.
He broke his nose?
Broke his nose and a concussion.
Can you play with the broken helmet, nose?
The helmet must have come down on him, right? It's like no one's sticking their hand through his face mask, right? It's
not
like
can you even put your hand through a face mask?
No,
anymore?
That's what I was saying. Like,
he's going to wear like a face mask under his
He's going to wear like
helmet?
What the basketball players wear. He's going to wear that.
Face mask.
I feel like,
on
oh,
top of it.
He takes one hit, that thing's going to be gushing blood.
That's like a really bad, like, not only did you get a concussion, but it's like a really bad fight. Like, they knocked you the F out, broke your nose, and you don't know where you are.
Rough.
That's terrible.
All right, hey, we got a trend. Thank you, Tyler. We got a trend on the other side. We're going to talk about the big news of the day, the gossipy news of the day out of Page Six. The Brady Giselle era. Is it over? We're going to talk about that on the other side.
Oh, we were just talking about Tom Brady and his minor rotator cuff injury, which it kind of looked minor because he left that game and he started just slinging it all over the place. Even though they lost to Kansas City, but Mahomes was just absolutely locked in. But one of the stories off the field that everybody's been following, obviously, is Tom and his wife, Giselle. And apparently, according to Page Six out of New York, they have hired divorce lawyers. This is a story that says Tom Brady, Giselle Bundchen seem to be heading for the end zone. Both have retained divorce lawyers.
That's very rude and clever writing.
They're in the red zone right now, heading into the end zone. As previously revealed, the couple have been living separately the past couple of months following an epic fight. And now they're apparently looking at dividing their multi-million-dollar empire. Source says, I never actually thought this argument would be the end of them, but it looks like that it is. I don't think there'll be any coming back now. They both have lawyers and are looking at the split, what the split will entail, who gets what, and what the finances would be.
Woo!
Jeez. There's a lot of cash going around.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of cash. And can just, like, you imagine, like, him, like, because usually when you see the, you know, the New York Post picture, the Barstool Sports picture with, like, you know, them from, like, the Met Gala, right? He's wearing his navy, whatever, baby blue suit. You know, there's a big, like, you know, little, like, they're ripping the picture apart. Yeah, that is when I feel like it's officially happening for real. Like, somebody said, you know what? It's time to go there now. They're not fixing this. We have enough information.
Yeah.
Like, this is legit going to happen. Now, a lot of things go through my mind. When I see something like this, a lot of things go
wrong. Where does your mind go?
It goes, well, one, I mean, he chose to come back and play, and he's going to have to try to figure out a way to manage this aspect of his life with high profile, everybody looking, everybody digging through his trash, following him. Nobody's asked him a question yet, which is amazing. I feel like if he was here, somebody would ask him a question. But in Tampa, nobody's saying anything about it, right? Think someone would ask him about it here?
Yeah, I don't know. And even if they asked in Tampa, I think we would hear it, right?
It would be like, what's his name? Byron Barnett?
Or, talk about that?
You know, just the guy from...
No, it's not him. Just Tom, you're splitting up with Giselle.
Yeah, what's
just
that like, about huh? That.
Just how impressed was you with that?
Yeah.
And Wiggy would ask why it's important to stay married versus not getting divorced.
Can you explain why it's important to stay married?
You know, yeah, it's like there's so many good aspects of it. Could you talk about that?
Why it's important to not get divorced?
So obviously it says they're going to, and this is why when you say, it doesn't sound like it's going to be like nasty. That's all. You know, they're involved in the children's lives, or share joint custody and a separation, apparently, according to the story. Because to me, doesn't it seem like she just sort of realizes that the only way this guy's going to be happy is by playing football, and she just doesn't want that anymore. Like, she can't do it anymore. Like, she probably couldn't have done that, like, 4 years ago and has been doing this the last 5 years. Man, who knows? Probably longer.
One more time.
I can't do it. You're only happy playing football. Like, that's your joy. You know, like, somebody tweeted out whatever, like, married to the game, where Tom actually is.
Yeah.
Like, we always say that phrase, like, he's married to the game.
Feels like
he actually is married to the game. And this, to me, is... it's just more of like a realization that he's not done playing. Like, they're going to get divorced. She realizes it. She's like, you're going to play for another couple of years. I can't keep doing this. So it's just more of like, you need to be happy. I need to be happy. And we can't do this anymore.
Yeah. Because obviously the married to the game was unique, because I don't think there's another way for him to do it. I don't think he could partially go about trying to train and focus on winning a Super Bowl and being preoccupied or worried about the amount of time that he's spending with his family. Now, it may seem be like, you know, a real insensitive way of looking at it, but I do think with him, if he's not married to it, he's an average quarterback. He's got to be psychotic about it. It's got to be a religion to him, which, you know, it is. And he's probably, you know, spends more time with Alex. You mentioned Alex. He probably spends more time with Alex than he does his wife.
It sure sounds like his closest relationship over
is
the
Alex.
Last several years.
Yeah.
He tried doing the essentially cutting back part-time thing. He said he wasn't going to practice on Wednesdays anymore. It didn't even last one week.
Okay,
he was there the following Wednesday.
Okay, so explain that to me, because, okay, he probably... I'm just playing this out in my own head. Okay, listen, I got to keep everybody happy. You know what? Screw this. Okay, listen, baby. Look, I'm going to skip Wednesdays also. I already left for 11 days during camp. Nobody ever does that, especially at a position like me. So you know what else I'll do? I'll be home every single Wednesday. I won't practice. So sure enough, first Wednesday of the season comes along, and there's Brady. What do you think happened? He probably said, screw it. This ain't going to work anyways. Well, why would I take Wednesday off?
There was a previous report that those two kind of went away like earlier before camp, and that like 11-day hiatus from camp was actually just him and the kids. And it was just like spending father time. Like, this thing has been kind of in the works for a while, right? So I don't know. I just, the rest of this article, too, talking about how they're looking to divide their assets, which include $26 million in property. So they go into it a little bit. By the way, so they have a condo in Tribeca that's about 3.6.
That's it?
They got a $5.7 million property, Yellowstone Club in Montana.
Oh, know about that one.
Wasn't that always his? Didn't he have that before?
I'm not sure. That's where it's like a private ski resort for only like 20 families.
That's the football camp.
This is what the lawyers are for. Yeah. Determine who gets what belongs to who.
Question from someone who's never been married. Tom Brady, if he had owned that before marrying Giselle, once he does marry her, isn't what was his now both of theirs?
Could be.
No idea.
No. It's common law. I don't know.
So I guess your experience in this.
Yeah, it's like another like $17 million property somewhere. And I guess they also have a place in Costa Rica. I don't know, 26 sounds low. Because I think that one property in Miami was like 17.
How about the house in Bel Air, the one with the moat in Beverly Hills? That
New York
one
City?
Was like $26 million. They have a condo in Tribeca that was like, what, at $3.7 million? That's like it's like two bedroom.
I was going to say. I expect in Tribeca.
Are you kidding me?
That's Tony neighborhood.
That's like where he keeps his pliability balls.
They don't have a house in Connecticut.
About this, you heard stories about this. Like
there's a house just for his pliability balls.
One big giant place for all.
It's like a nice closet.
Yeah. Who needs a sphere? Who needs a who wants one?
We come over to the house.
But they had for a couple of days. It sounds like because ahead of Hurricane Ian, the pair both fled to Tampa, where Brady's playing for the Bucks. Went to Miami where they've been staying apart. So I guess she was spotted there for a few days. So like during the hurricane. Now, a lot of people lived with this through COVID, kind of going through divorces and just still living together because it was like you couldn't go out and get played, whatever.
You realize how much you hated them?
Yeah, you're going through a divorce. Next thing you know, you're back in the house together. And they were just for a few days, it sounds like, right, for the hurricane.
Well, what about some people
spent months with the woman they're about to divorce.
So there's two pieces of audio. And Ryan, if it hits you, grab it. If not, don't worry about it. There's two pieces of audio. The first one, I think, is very telling. Is the whole like reviver the things I do anything I want if I own the team?
Maybe one day I will be an owner and I can make all the decisions that I want.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you'll never find this one. The other one was after that golf tournament. That golf tournament, right? When they grabbed him off the golf tournament, like he was coming off the 18th hole and somebody grabbed him and he started talking about 5 weeks is a long time.
Yeah,
remember that one? He was basically admitting that, dude, I'm coming back. Because he was retired.
He was clowning on his family.
He was like, listen, like 5 weeks is way too much.
Yeah,
it's like,
no,
well,
those two.
I wanted to spend
full-time family member? I don't know.
I think the quote was something like, I wanted to spend time with my family. I did 5 weeks.
I wish I had a clear vision of what the future holds. But I think for me, there's a lot of great things ahead and a lot of great opportunities. I know I said right after football season, I was looking forward to spending time with my family. And I've done that the last 5 weeks. And I know there'll be a lot more of that, too. So
that's it.
I've done that the last five weeks.
I did it for the last 5 weeks.
I am done.
Can I be done now?
What else do you need? I got
it. That was pretty good.
This is the last quote I want to read from this because I'm just curious how you feel about like divorces. Because this, although sources close to Bundchen have stressed that it is, quote, sexist to say that the split is over the model's issues with Brady reneging on his NFL retirement. So wouldn't it be sexist if you blame either one?
Well, it continues to, the source says, as with many marriages, it's not just one thing. Giselle has made it clear she worried about Tom playing football, and they've had many talks about it. But they've had a series of blow-ups over the past few years. This time, it looks like there's no going back.
Yeah, but this to me is like one of those things where, okay, I could easily see Tom Brady fans being angry at Giselle, like, because, you know, she was pressuring him to retire.
How about Patriots fans saying you had to leave Boston?
I hate
now.
Boston. Yeah, that whole thing. But the fact is that like, you shouldn't be mad at Giselle at all because Tom didn't allow himself to be manipulated.
Okay, I'm going to step in here.
I said not manipulated.
And say Christian for Christian.
Yeah. No, but not. So he didn't do it. He said because, listen, your marriage is important. You make sacrifices. And this looked like he was doing that. it looked like he was doing that for her and the family to be around. He took a job with Fox calling games, so he's basically working half the year, one day a week. I mean, maybe he travels on a Saturday morning and he meets with the coaches, but his life is so easy. He works out of his house, puts the tape on, takes his notes, takes some Zoom calls. He travels, you know, once a week. That's it for 19 weeks. That's easy. And then he still said no. So nobody should sit there and blame Giselle for any of this because he's still playing football.
Yeah, I don't know what the blame is. Unless the only thing that I could think about a blame game would be New England fans saying, well, she wasn't happy in Boston, so they had to leave. But it's so much more complicated.
And I do think it goes farther, too. It's like, you know, when you met him, he was a football player. So this is who he is. You got to accept it. The dude's 45. You know, and may play for another 2 or 3 years. Like, and we had this discussion when the news first came up that there was a serious fight and this thing might be split up, that this might make him play another 3 or 4 years. Like, think about it. If this guy, like, he ended his marriage is ending because he needed one more. If he retires at the end of this year, don't you sit there? Like, if you're hurt, don't you sit there and be like, really? Like, really? You waited to retire from football until we got divorced. And then you retired from football? You know what I mean? So it's almost like he has to. You're at the point where he has to play for another 3 years. Right?
To justify causing
all of this stuff to go down for just
it better be worth
one
it.
More season?
Yeah, that's it. One more crappy season? Like, you lost your head coach? Like, you mean all this other stuff? Like, think about all the things that he was trying to do during the offseason.
Right.
And then he still ended up back in Tampa.
Well, do you remember the discussion when, like, the Patriots moved on from Garoppolo? And it was like, how much longer does Brady have to play here in New England to justify trading Garoppolo? In other words, like, if you trade Garoppolo to San Fran, and Brady at the end of the year was like, I retire, you'd be like, are you serious, dude? Like, are you kidding me? This was your last year, and you're retiring? And we traded away Jimmy G, who could have been playing next year? You know, so it's like, how long does he have to play to justify trading Jimmy? Now, obviously, well, he's gone past that, but I would ask the same.
How long does he have to play to justify his divorce?
Yes.
Maybe. As Christian said before the show, we were talking about this. Maybe they just don't like each other anymore. They just don't want to be in a relationship anymore.
I feel like that is ultimately it.
Like, what if they came out and said that? Hey, we both respect each other.
Yeah, but
we just don't want to do this anymore.
I don't see it anymore.
All the reports are false because all the reports are saying that there was a massive fight about him coming back to the league.
You think that? I mean, I guess we're just speculating, obviously. But do you think that the basis of their entire issues would be related to his job?
Yes.
What he does for a living, his work. Like, what if he what if he worked in finances? What if he sold insurance? Like, to me, it's got to be deeper than that. It's got to be deeper than that.
Honestly, and I'm not trying to tread into controversy. How much of this do you think has to do with several years ago when Giselle said that he had all those concussions?
Mm.
Like, do you think she's looking at him as a 45-year-old and going, like, I want you to be with it in 10 years.
Football, like, he had a concussion last year. I mean, he has concussions pretty much. I mean, we don't talk about it, but he does have concussions.
Ooh, gray area.
Yeah. So, like, do you think she's a little bit like, hey, I want to spend our twilight years, like, going on vacation and hanging out, not, you know, me taking
care
of you.
So, you're telling me, so you know, you come to your husband, you know, emotionally and caring in a caring manner, and you say, I'm nervous for our future because I think you're going to die.
No, I'm not going to die. Just,
well, whatever.
Like, not going to be in a great place.
Yeah,
in
and you're going to be a vegetable.
Years.
Okay.
Not even that. Just, well, like, you know, we know that there's these
place?
Issues.
Maybe I'm irritable all the time?
Yeah, maybe you have some emotional issues, you know, related that we've seen in hindsight then related to those.
Over
yeah,
that?
You,
or do you
stay
just,
with me because
or do you
I'm
just
need
hope
you.
That it doesn't happen?
Well, maybe it started. Let me put it this way. Maybe it started as that conversation 6 years ago when he's 39. And now at this point, it's like, you know what? I'm freaking done.
Yeah.
Like, I've been talking to you about this and what our future's going to look like when we're trying to be at Vivian's wedding or whatever. Like, I can't do this anymore.
And I'm hot.
Yeah, let me take, we have two calls. One, leave Brady alone. The other one says he's excited over this news. Let me go to Adam first. God. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, I'm so excited about this. First off, just first thing before I get to my point. Christian, give me an over-under on the age of Tom's next girlfriend.
Oh, God.
I'll play. 35.
32.
Awesome number. That's what I was going to say. I think it's going to go under, but 35 is a good number.
Okay.
Lou, you hit close to home with the pandemic divorce talk. let me tell you something. Listening to that voice, Tom, he couldn't get out of there fast enough. There is no, this is the worst news ever for the NFL, by the way. There is no more dangerous athlete on earth than a horny Tom Brady. Get it. Forget it.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Adam.
Oh, my God.
Okay. He's expecting big things from him.
Is he wrong?
No.
Let's go!
No, because he's going through a divorce. He's got his kids. He's diving into his work.
What happens? Let me just pose it this way.
The horny part? I don't know how that's going to affect his game.
He's a single man. Yes. And then he finally gets to Miami.
Okay, Kim Kardashian.
Can you imagine single Tom Brady in South Beach?
Oh, my God.
46.
Let's not sleep on Giselle either.
Slinging it and
I can see her going to Costa Rica
and 8 o'clock every
find
night.
Some like
that's true. 58-year-old
guy, long hair on the beach.
He's going to be like meeting women at the juice bar at 11 a.m. and then being like, oh, I got to go take a nap.
All the octogenarians are going to be out there fawning over Tom
Brady. He's not going to have to meet anyone. He's on social media. There's going to be more people in his DMs. He can choose from. He's not going to go anywhere.
Like a Derek Jeter situation. You put your phone here. That's you're going to leave with a gift basket. It's got some oranges.
I'm
going
to make sure you're pliable. Alex, come on over here.
Alex.
TB12.
No, Alex is going to be his. Alex is going to be his manager.
Mm. Yeah. Go manager. Get that one. Go get that
Let
one.
Me go to Cal.
Is he
going to
leave
should...
the room when we. No, no, no. He
no.
watches.
No, he watches.
Let me go to Cal. He thinks we should leave him alone. Go ahead, Cal.
For Christ's sake, the woman made him eat avocado ice cream and stuff. He wouldn't leave him alone. Are you kidding me? I'll tell you, you know, we're talking about a guy who trains probably different than, I would say, any quarterback that ever played the position. His health is the most important thing to him. He said he was going to play until he was 45 years old. Let the man play football. Giselle and him, you know what? Boo-hoo. They're multimillionaires. They'll move on. They'll find somebody else. But I wanted to talk a little bit about Zappy. I want to see... This kid just, listen, I don't want to see Brian Hoyer behind the center anymore. He's got to go. You got to, until Jones comes back, you got to find a formidable backup. And I think Zappy needs to get some reps here. Hmm. What do you think, pal?
I like Zappy too, pal.
Go ahead,
pal.
Guy.
Hey, I like Zappy too, pal. I like Zappy too. You know, we were just talking about, how demented, by the way, is Antonio Brown? Just talking about this whole Giselle thing. Like, those two are going through all this. He posts a picture on Instagram.
I had a sissy.
Giselle is hugging him, and he says, put that bleep on. S word.
Like, on it. Right?
Oh, just
get that bleep on it?
It just says, put that bleep on.
He's got a song called Put That Blank On.
But it's just like, dude, it's like, I mean, what are you?
I saw that, and I was just, can you imagine that Brady allowed this slime ball in his house.
So you open up a whole lot of candles.
He posts a picture of Giselle ball. Hugging him like on the field after like the Super Bowl. And he's like, post it, put that bleep on.
Yeah.
I mean,
talk about like regrets in your life. Like advocating for that slime ball, that a-hole, that jerk. Like you actually vouch for him. You vouch for Antonio Brown. Then you... Twice, right? You brought him to New England.
Yeah.
Then you brought him to Tampa.
Yeah.
You got him a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah.
And this is what you're doing to him?
No, don't guess I mean.
I don't even.
That news comes out and he posts that picture. I mean, he's
he is such a dirtbag.
He is not going to end well for Antonio Brown.
Oh, wait, did you see him in Dubai?
Yeah.
See what he was doing in Dubai?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to get into what he was doing, but that's a place where you don't mess around.
He did get out of there, right?
I don't know. I'm amazed that somebody didn't see it and snatch him up. They put him in a Rolls Royce and then just, you never see him again.
So he's swimming in a pool. He's swimming in a pool.
Yeah.
He's naked. And he's exposing himself. Like, he's got his hips are above the water.
Yes.
Ugh.
And there's just people in the pool, and he's screaming, you want this? Like, the people in the pool. He's naked in a pool in Dubai.
See,
yeah, there is something very wrong there.
And by the way,
there.
I think he's touching himself.
Here kumbaya.
Do this in Russia, Antonio.
By the way, he was there supporting his good friend, Floyd Mayweather Jr.
Oh, my Lord.
How is Jaylen Brown actually really going to be associated with Antonio Brown? Like, that's an honest to God question. Like, that somebody needs to ask him, how would you be able, how do you allow yourself to work with this guy?
So Antonio Brown is the president of his marketing company.
In this moment, Donda. We all could learn from
Donda from Kanye, yeah.
Yeah.
How much
he's actually really the president. I thought it was like a joke when we first heard it. This guy's actually, like, what does that even
you
mean?
You don't work with him anymore, dude.
Did you guys hear that Antonio Brown was a no-show to his Worcester concert? He was at Whiskey on Water and like a live venue out in Worcester. They booked it 2 days in advance. He did not show.
This is about fellowship and learning.
By the way, Dubai is not cheap, correct?
No.
This guy can't pay a bill to save his
life. Somebody flew him out there.
And he didn't have one bill.
Who did you say it was?
He was there supporting Floyd Mayweather, who was doing an exhibition boxing match.
Yes.
And Antonio Brown, AB, was performing his rap song live. I don't know which one, but he was performing while Floyd was walking
out.
He's such a terrible human being.
All right. When we come back, let's get back into the Patriots, Green Bay Packers, because it's moral victory week here with the New England Patriots. And Fourier is still pissed about it. We'll get into it next. One and three New England Patriots lost in overtime at Lambeau versus Aaron Rodgers with Bailey Zappi. Mm. And Fourier woke up today
feeling
even
dangerous.
More upset. Yeah, anger issues.
He's got hate in his heart.
Yes,
you do.
Like Tommy Curran wrote the article.
Yes.
He was on.
I hate Tommy Curran.
Chad Graff from The Athletic.
Don't know who he is.
Chad Graff still thinks they're a playoff team. You know, so. A lot of moral victory Monday. Now it's a moral victory Tuesday. Hell, it's a moral victory week.
Everybody's happy. And Christian came in today and he
pissed.
Said, you're all morons.
No,
you don't know anything about football. You never played football. I played football.
No, Mago,
you're all stupid.
Actually,
I'm smart.
It was like you're all losers.
Absolutely.
Losers
rude.
Talk about moral victory Monday.
Am I wrong? Be honest. Don't be Hardo, Lou Maloney. Like,
no, Christian.
You know, be honest.
You're right.
Moral victories. That is for losers.
You're right, like, but I don't want to call this
coffee
team.
Coffee is for winners.
I wouldn't call this team a loser, but this is what bad football teams that aren't playoff football teams do, which is what you are. It's about this year's draft class, last year's draft class. Hopefully, you know, Mac Jones is something. Next year you spend some money and you find out what you are next year. Maybe there's another draft class next year. So now you got three in a row, free agent money, and it's about next year.
See,
you're not a loser, but you're not a good football team.
I know that technically, like, moral victories, use that to describe what happened. It happens in all of sports. You play a game and you do your best and, you know, but you come up short, you know, but nobody quit and everybody tried really hard. Okay.
Yeah.
And you sit there and say, you know what? We came really close. We feel like we're building something special. We feel like we're almost there. What you don't say and what you don't admit to is the actual phrase moral victory. What I don't think I've ever actually seen in this town ever is anyone allow moral victory to be part of the discussion. That is it. So do I think that they had a valiant effort against, what's an average team that is trying to figure themselves out with a great quarterback and a suspect defense? Yes. Tough situation. Lose your second string quarterback. You play the rookie. Fine. My point is, where are we as an organization, as a Patriot like fan base, where moral victories become like the norm? That's it. Like, look at you guys. Look how you both have become losers. Both of you. Loser one and loser two.
No, it's more.
You
than
sound
me.
Like a
it's
goofball right
team.
Now.
No,
yes, you do.
Honesty. You don't like honesty. You can't handle that moral victories. And you, I know you, Mago. You've been an athlete your whole life. You've never been on a team where somebody who was on the team actually admitted at some sort of like team meeting or on the bus ride home. You know, guys, that was a good moral victory, man. I know we lost, but don't you feel good about yourself? And then we're like, yeah, I kind of do.
A question for you. Can you what is Christian Fourier's definition of a moral victory?
Really quick, can I tell you what we used to say on the bus when we lost?
Go ahead.
We're still prettier than them.
Yeah, okay. They're ugly.
You see
we're
those
cute.
Girls?
We're ugly.
Well, at least
cute.
We're prettier than them.
It just, okay, a moral victory is just what we always tease and make fun of, right? You know, you feel like there's this sense of accomplishment. There's this sense of like, value. Like what you accomplished was more valuable and more important than the actual win. Like, you have a life lesson that you just, you know, were able to kind of take part in. And this will make you a better person in life as opposed to some stupid victory. You know, like that to me is a moral victory.
All right, so you
like
really
you're tricking yourself.
So you really don't like Tommy Curran, who was on NBC Sports Boston post game following the game, and this is what he came out firing with.
This is a moral victory. And for all the people who can push back right now, go, that's beneath us. We don't accept moral victories. This is a franchise like that has been built on moral victories that later help propel them to great things down the road. Not to true. Go out there, Ted, without your Super Bowl, excuse me, without your starting quarterback, with your backup quarterback smushed on the first series of the game, basically, and to do this on the road, absolutely a moral victory.
Ted did not agree with him, did he?
He said, yeah.
Yeah, Ted did.
He's like, yeah.
He did.
He's still in concussion protocol. Put him in concussion protocol.
Christian.
He hit his head on the door.
Stop it right now.
What? I don't believe it. Ted ain't swallowing that. He's not buying into that.
We don't accept moral victories.
That's you.
All nasally. I do think that is like... I'm trying to think of a time when I played for the Patriots when we lost and we all felt really good about, you know, that was a learning. Listen, we finally figured it out. By losing, we cracked the code.
You played on a Patriot team that had won a Super Bowl. So there were no moral victories. Like for the Patriots with Tom Brady, there was no moral victories. And Tommy actually wrote an article, went through a few of them and brought up like the one moral victory that I could really think of that started everything was the regular season loss to the Rams.
Yeah.
In New England. And they were like a juggernaut. And you're like, damn, they played them pretty tight. Almost like, you know, you could say like the Giants against the Patriots in 07, at the end of the year. Damn, nobody could stop the Patriots. But you know what? We came really close and they played them again and they beat them just like the Patriots did in that Super Bowl. So, and those are a little bit different. But the Patriots in this game here, I'll admit, the next 7 weeks, 8 weeks, there's no moral victory if you lose to the Lions or the Colts or the Jets or the Browns.
Why not?
Because you should beat them. You shouldn't go into Green Bay versus Aaron Rodgers with Bailey Zappe and win. Your next opportunity for a moral victory Monday will come December 2nd against the Buffalo Bills. That's the Monday. That's the next opportunity. I want to get more into this on the other side.
Yeah, because I have an example of a moral victory that nobody wants to talk about. That happened this year.
Moral that's victories. Good.
And Jack Jones popping off after the game. Do you like it? Do you hate it? We'll tell you what that was. It's next. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.